You're listening to NPR's Ask Me Another, and this is our really hard edition. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and with me is our puzzle editor, Art Chung. When it comes to pop culture trivia, it turns out that general knowledge is dead.
Well, Ophira, if it's not dead, it's not feeling too well these days.
That's true.
Well, now, you remember the show Welcome Back, Kotter, right?
It's one of my favorites.
Well, right. You might have seen it when it aired in the 70s, or if it was on Nick at Night. But for a whole generation, people have no idea who that show was.
It's true. What I thought was the most important television show of all time when I was 13 is just not the same as a current 13-year-old. And that holds true for what I thought was important with comic strips, novels, commercial jingles, well-known people named Nick.
That's right. And in this game, we're going to find out that people named Nick don't really have much cultural relevance these days. So let's listen into this round led by Ophira and house musician Jonathan Colton.
Let's say hello to our next two contestants, Sylvia Ozels and Darwin Connor. Darwin, Sylvia, did you give yourself a nickname growing up, or were you given one? Darwin, your name's Darwin. Was there any nicknames?
Yes. I can't believe I'm going to say this in public.
Okay.
Let alone on the radio. But in junior high school, I thought it was a good idea to call myself Big D. And a friend of mine got me a red sweatshirt, this is in the 80s, that said Big D in quotes, which I wore to junior high school. So that worked out well.
And you're like, look what I did for myself. I made myself very,
very, very popular.
Very popular. Sylvia, what did you decide to call yourself?
I never had a nickname, really, because I was kind of a serious kid. And so, like, nobody felt compelled to give me a nickname.
Man, there are a lot of sad stories on stage tonight.
Did you have one in, like, if you could
I
have...
did briefly call myself Silent J because there's a Silent J in my name.
Oh,
but it didn't really stick.
It's like an electric company story.
I know.
Yeah, it's Big D and Silent J.
I know.
It's like an 80s rap group.
All right, Big D, Silent J. This game is called Nicknames. And in this game, we'll get real familiar with people named Nick. I'm going to give you three made-up nicknames to describe a famous person or fictional character, and you have to ring in the nick of time and tell us who we're talking about. Puzzle Guru Art Chung, how about an example?
Sure. If we said Coppola's kin, Mr. Moonstruck, and a national treasure, the answer, of course, was Nick Cage.
Okay, and these nicknames, just remember, are made up. They're not real ones, as far as we know. And we're also talking about people with variations on the name Nick. So don't be thrown. Let's go. Rich man, poor man, Malibu mugshot model, and the sexiest man alive in 1992. Sylvia.
Nick Nolte?
Yes.
He was the sexiest man alive.
I know. That is the most...
I would never get that.
Yeah.
And it was Slim Pickens in 92.
Not a nickname he gave himself.
He was not the sexiest man. Slim Pickens was not the sexiest man. I mean,
Slim Pickens.
The Pickens literally were slim.
He's all that. Ringmaster of America's Got Talent and Mr. Mariah Carey. Sylvia.
Nick Cannon?
Yeah.
Totally knew that one.
Yeah, you did.
My buzzer's not working.
Oh, you want to test it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. Paris's pal, Lionel's girl, not so simple lifer. Sylvia?
Nicole Richie?
Yes, indeed.
What happened to you, Big D?
No.
It's Silent J. It's
call
moment.
Me Silent D.
Brit critic, Arsenal soccer fan, high fidelity scribe. Sylvia, she took a gasp.
Nick Hornby?
Yeah, exactly.
Never heard that person.
About a boy?
Darwin, you've never heard of that person?
I've never heard of that person. I have no idea who that
no?
is.
No? Did
this
you
is have... completely unfair.
I know, we always try to write personal quizzes, and it's hard. Maybe you know this one. We'll find out.
Nick Cannon.
Pink wig enthusiast, idol judge dropout, feud-fueled rapper.
Still,
don't feel bad. Don't feel bad.
Can I whisper to him and have him say
no,
it?
No, you say the word.
I know.
Oh, Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj, exactly. All right, this is your last clue. Tambourine tapper, leather and lace lover, Fleetwood Mac mama.
She's looking at me and answering.
Feel bad. Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks is correct.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Wow, I do. I hate the game.
I don't even know if we need to go for it, but clearly Sylvia was our winner.
Congratulations, Sylvia. Let's meet our next two contestants, Guy Matt and Danielle Sherman. Danielle, you work as a clerk at the Brooklyn Board of Elections. That's very interesting. But you also are interested in Burmese Zodiac. What is that?
I found out that it existed because I was living in Southeast Asia. I had some friends who, you know, whatever. And one thing led to another, as it often does. And
with the Zodiac.
Yeah, with the Zodiac. You can't get away from it. But no, I was looking into it because apparently in the Burmese Zodiac, part of it is that depends on what day of the week you're born, like what animal you are, what creature you are. So you could be like an elephant or like something, like a tiger. I'm a guinea pig. I found out that I was a guinea pig, so I was like, oh, well, that fits me very well. So I became a fan of
what
that.
Day of the week is that?
Friday. So anyone born on a Friday...
Is a guinea pig.
Is a guinea pig, yes.
There's only 7 possibilities in Burmese Zodiac.
Yes, and
one of them is guinea pig.
Yeah. I lucked out. I lucked
That's
out.
A pretty good... Yeah, I don't even want to know what the other ones are.
Don't.
Now, Guy, you work in IT and computers. I used to do that.
Really? Where?
Yeah, in New York.
In what capacity?
You want to talk about it in depth? It was back in...
I actually enjoy talking shop.
Yeah, it was like back when I was doing like Windows XP pre-service pack 2. Do you speak Italian?
I don't.
Okay. Danielle, do you speak Italian?
Not that I know of.
Perfect. This game is called Jingle All the Way, and what it has to do with is Jonathan is taking a side career in writing commercial jingles. You're working on Old Spice, I believe?
Yeah, you're right. Working on Old Spice right now. The oldest spice you can buy. That's the working phrase I have so far. I'm still working on it, though.
That's good. I like it.
No, actually, in this game, I'm going to ask you to complete the lyrics to some famous commercial jingles. The twist is that I'm going to sing them in Italian. Because
why?
I took Italian in college, so my accent is pretty great. A couple of years.
2 years.
2 years. 2 years of Italian in college, so don't worry. All of this is absolutely correct. Lucky for you, contestants, you don't have to answer in Italian.
Oh,
just tell us the product, and if you'd like to sing it as part of the jingle, I think that would be appropriate. The audience all agrees, so that's... So, we're going to give you an example right now. Voglio il mio bambino ritorno, bambino ritorno, bambino ritorno, bambino ritorno. So, puzzle guru Mary Tobler. What was that? What was that a jingle for?
Chili's baby back ribs.
That's right. So, ring in when you know the answer. Pronto?
Si.
Yup.
That means, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that means ready. You got it. See? It's going to be... Just use context clues. It'll be very easy. Here we go. Dammi una pausa, spezzami un pezzo di questa cosa. Danielle.
Kit Kat bar?
That's right.
In Italian, it sounds like the Kit Kat lounge, right? So it's
much cooler. Everything is much cooler in Italian.
Such a classy lounge. Yeah.
Non voglio crescere, sono un bimbo da qui. Ho ricevuto 1 milione di giocattoli da qui. Guy?
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Oh.
As they would say in Italy, siamo giocattoli. Which means we are toys. Okay, this is a cappella. That also is Italian. That means... Okay, here we go. 800-588-2300. Danielle.
I actually have no idea. 1-800-AUTO-something. I don't know.
Auto means eight. I'm going to tell you that much.
1-800-CAR-FOR-KIDS? No?
Just list all the 800 numbers you can think of.
I'm going to keep going. What is it? 1-800-MATTRESS?
I know. I'm afraid you've gotten it wrong several times, Guy. Do you want to take a guess?
Empire?
Yeah! That's right. Empire Carpet. Okay, here we go.
Raddoppia la tua freschezza, raddoppia la tua gioia. Oh, nessun'altra gomma rinfresca la tua bocca come. Doppia menta, doppia menta, gomma.
Doppia menta.
Nope.
Oh, for God's sake.
I like that you're now angry
well,
at
now
them.
I'm mad.
They are working together. The contestants.
Guy just asked me if I knew the answer.
No. I said, does doppia menta mean two times?
Does the audience know what it is? What is it? Double mint.
Yeah.
You will be relieved to hear this is your last clue.
Non importa quel che succederà, la freschezza è meglio nella vita. Con questo si è pieni di vita. Niente ti disturba, sei fresco e disinvolto. Con questo si è pieni di vita. Fresco va meglio con questa freschezza. Fresco va meglio con questo si è pieni di vita.
This, Danielle, yes, I do know this.
You got this one, Danielle.
Thank you. Mentos?
Mentos, si! Brava!
I've never gotten so much applause for doing so little.
Now you know what it's like to work at this show. Mary, what happened in that game? Because I
have
can't
a
remember. I've already blocked
what?
It out.
Yes! Can you believe it?
I know. Every once in a while it is 1-1.
Oh, no.
We're going to have to go to a tiebreaker.
Oh, dear God, no.
The phrase, Mamma Mia, that's a spicy meatball, comes from a classic commercial that was actually for what an acid? Danielle.
Alka-Seltzer?
Correct.
Let's say hello to Jim Harvey and Matt Melchiori. So, Jim, you are a self-proclaimed know-it-all.
Yes.
And you helped build a school in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. I would like to hear about this.
Well, it wasn't exactly a school. We were working with...
I can tell
it
that...
It was a hospital.
You're right. That is not exactly a school.
It was a mission trip. We were doing construction on a hospital for children with tuberculosis.
That's amazing, and thank you. Matt,
yes.
You work in the New York Department of Education.
I do.
What do you do there?
I'm an educational administrator. I'm responsible for the operation of a group of 34 schools.
All right. This game is called Literary Comic Strips, because as kids, we all loved reading the Sunday funny papers, but the comics are so short. So we have taken popular newspaper cartoon strips and mash their titles with some classic books to produce longer literary works of art. Okay, Puzzle Guru, Greg Pliska, we need an example.
If we combined Gary Trudeau's comic strip about a bunch of baby boomers with Dee Brown's historical account of the plight of Native American tribes, that would be Doonesbury My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Oh, obvious.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's easy. We could skip this. It's so easy.
So don't panic, okay? Just talk it out. Here we go. In this adaptation of a W.P. Kinsella novel, which was made into a movie starring Kevin Costner, a fat orange cat is told, if you build it, he will come. Matt.
Garfield of Dreams.
Yes!
Everyone loves this game, right?
How could you not?
call me Ishmael on my two-way wrist radio is how the story begins. It's the tale of a lantern-jawed detective who will stop at nothing to track down the whale or the hideously deformed gangster that stole his leg. Matt.
Moby Dick Tracy.
Yes! A lazy army private whose eyes are always covered by his cap sees his whole life change when he falls in love with the wealthy heiress Daisy Buchanan. He spends the rest of his short life building a fortune to impress her and his commanding officer, Sergeant Snorkel. Jim.
Beetle Bailey. Beetle. Bailey Gatsby. That.
All right. Okay. Try it in another.
The Great Gatsby Bailey.
Yeah. One more time, and you said it perfectly. Keep going. Like exactly what you said. Just all the words. Let's do it.
The Great Gatsby Beetle Bailey.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't get it.
No, I don't either.
You don't
it's
get
great,
it?
The Great Gatsby Beetle Bailey. Bailey.
Oh, if you merge them, so it's the Great Gatsby Beetle Bailey.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. I like that you're like, I don't get it. This game's stupid. In an odd casting choice, a pipe-smoking, spinach-swilling sailor man plays a thrice-married, twice-widowed black woman named Janie Crawford in this adaptation of Zora Neale Hurston's 1937 novel.
You're going to put the comic strip in the middle of the title.
Okay.
Of course, if you don't know the title, that doesn't help at all. The title completes the quote, "They seem to be staring at the dark, but..."
That doesn't really help. It's not. It's
okay.
He's strong to the finish because he eats his spinach. Yeah.
We got Popeye. Yeah. Oh, okay, good. Just trying to help. Just trying to help.
How about this? Maybe he loves the Lord more than spinach.
And a part of his body is observing
all right.
The Lord.
Yeah, it's, I think
bail
we
out,
could.
Bail
I think,
out.
Okay.
No.
Anyone out there?
Their Popeyes were watching God.
Their Popeyes were watching God.
Everybody knew that.
Why are they never that obscure when I'm listening at home?
They are. Our contestants are definitely bright, but even famous radio geniuses can get stumped every once in a while, like when we quiz Radiolab host Jad Abumrad on some accidental scientific discoveries. So stick around for more of Ask Me Another's Really Hard Edition from NPR.